Scorpions Avenue. Scorpions Avenue.
Hey.
Hey.
What'd you think?
About what?
Did you get my text?
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Okay, hi.
Now we're recording.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Patton Oswalt.
Hi, I'm Meredith Salinger.
Were you not sure about that last name?
No, I was, but it just
pause
felt
for
like
a second.
Well, yours felt, your introduction of your own self felt very like calm, and I thought like people might want to hear some happiness and brightness, which leads me to my next.
I thought calm was happy and bright.
Calm is happy and bright sometimes. It also can be depressing.
Welcome to Did You Get My Text, our second episode.
This is our second episode of Did You Get My Text, and the reason we call it Did You Get My Text is because we do not spend very much time together during the day, but we do text each other a lot.
Oh boy.
And then we will put a heart or a thumbs up or like a oh boy, but we never actually get a chance to discuss.
That's true.
What we sent.
Right.
So, but
Do you want to lead off or?
No. If you have something, let's hear it. What did
Well,
you
I texted you.
Are you going to ask me if I got some text of yours?
Hey, Meredith.
Yeah.
Did you get my text?
Which one?
The one about, this is, of course, my home state, which I like to call Florida Light. I, of course, was born and grew up in Virginia. And right now, there is a big brouhaha going on about legalizing marijuana.
There's a brouhaha?
Which, by the way, first off, it's 2021. I just assumed marijuana was legal everywhere at this point. I didn't even know it was a thing. I thought so. But apparently there is a delegate there, John McGuire, speaking out against the legalization of marijuana. So I guess it's not legal in Virginia yet. And a Senator Amanda Chase, who is our state senator.
From where?
And from Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And wants to and plans to be governor someday.
Uh-huh.
Sure. Delegate McGuire is right. She tweeted this. Delegate McGuire is right. We have a drug problem in Virginia, and legalizing marijuana will only lead to more
drugs,
marijuana overdoses,
oh,
and deaths. Democrats want more marijuana deaths. As your governor, I would never allow marijuana to be legalized.
I do not believe that in the history of marijuana use that anyone has died from an overdose of marijuana.
If I'm not mistaken, it is impossible to overdose on marijuana. And
I will try.
Well, you try every day.
That is not true.
Well, every other day.
This is a podcast, a family podcast.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You would assume.
One would, just because of my layback attitude, man, which is clearly not really true because I'm pretty uppity at home.
The two things that blew me away about that tweet was, for the first thing we were talking about earlier, I just assumed marijuana was legal everywhere and no one cared about it anymore. It was just a thing and no one cares. But two, I thought we were so past the overdosing on marijuana.
Wasn't that like the 1950s, like marijuana will lead you to heroin?
Yeah, it was like in the 30s with Reefer Madness where, you start smoking marijuana and you get into jazz music and then you'll jump out of a window. Whereas, you know, and they would literally depict marijuana use as like PCP.
I do have to ask you a question though.
Yeah.
So yes, marijuana is legal in some states, most states, I think. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But it is legal in California, and we do live in California. And you know our friend Doug Benson, who's a comedian.
Yes.
Yeah, and he has a podcast where you, Getting Doug with High, where you
getting
get
Doug with high,
where
yes.
you get high with Doug.
Right.
And he asked me to be on his podcast, and I did it. And at one point he said, are you okay with having your daughter hear this? Like, hear that, and here's the thing. There's a stigma still. Yes, alcohol, everyone, I'll have a glass of wine after dinner.
Right.
Right? But if you're not a big drinker and you just want like a puff of that after dinner and you're not overdosing and about to die from it.
All those marijuana overdoses.
But for some reason, I guess it's because, you know, you want to teach your kids not to smoke because it's terrible for you. Smoking is bad for you. It's bad for your lungs.
Yes.
And so you tell your kids don't smoke. But then if your kids saw you smoking something, it would be like flying in the face of everything you've taught them. And so you still kind of have to hide it.
Except that when I grew up in the 70s, everybody smoked around me and I never had a desire to smoke.
But not your parents.
My parents constantly smoked around me.
Cigarettes.
Not marijuana, but cigarettes. But what I'm saying is they were smoking cigarettes, and smoking cigarettes was made to look very cool.
Right, back
and
then.
And I never was like, yeah, I need to smoke a cigarette.
No, it's not about whether she will or won't. It's mm-hmm. about, Mom, you've been saying cigarette smoke is so bad.
Right,
what are you doing? What is that?
I don't know. It just.
And wouldn't you be? I mean, first of all, I would be very upset if you did that and Alice saw you doing that.
Right.
I would be very upset.
Yeah, but you guys have seen me drunk.
But that's.
I've gotten buzzed and
yes,
drunk.
You love scotch. So you yes. usually have like a little tiny occasionally. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking to your friends online and have a Zoom and you
yeah,
all
then
are
we'll all have
playing Dungeons and Dragons and being weird nerds like you little. Whatever. We're so different, Patton.
Well, yeah. We are. Oh my God. I just realized you are like Willem Dafoe and I'm like, who's the guy, the other guy in Platoon, the two sergeants, the one that was the boozer and the one that was smoking weed.
Was he in it?
No, he was. Wait a minute.
Wait, a baby Lawrence Fishburne, wasn't it?
No, that you're thinking of Apocalypse Now.
Oh, I'm thinking of Tom Berenger
was that his group was all that we're drinking booze, and Defoe's group was all we're smoking weed.
Who else was in Defoe's group? Because
I think
the cool people.
I think a very young Johnny Depp was in his group.
See, the cool people.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sorry, I totally interrupted you and ruined your train of thought.
I'm so stoned right now.
Oh, he is so not.
I just remember when marijuana, when I was getting into high school and a lot of my friends were using weed, and I was talking to my dad was always very upfront about, you know, he goes, I don't want you smoking drugs. I don't want you smoking marijuana because right now there's so much hysteria about it. It'll mess up your record and it might mess up your future.
But like there's such an irony about it. And actually there's a song that I love so much. It's by a band called The Streets. They're an English band. Mm-hmm. And the song is called The Irony of It All. Mm-hmm. And it's this one, the singer, the lead singer, the video is amazing, by the way, you should all look at that. Mm-hmm. But the lead singer, the song is called The Irony of It All. And mm-hmm. it's about this guy who's drunk and he's just causing havoc and throwing things and then you see him cut to at home, just smoking pot, being nice to everybody, not even caught.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just so crazy to me that it ever got a bad rap. What do you think it was like? You know how the government is like, don't do drugs, and then they sell you oxycodone.
Well, there were so many crazy conspiracies about why marijuana is illegal. There's the whole, it was the paper manufacturers that didn't want it being used for hemp. So again, there's a million conspiracies for it. I just remember very, very clearly talking to my dad when I was a teenager, and him saying, I know that you're going to show me all the, in my 10th grade sociology textbook, this is a 10th grade textbook, they had a list of the addictive substances based on the severity of the addiction.
What was number one?
Number one was nicotine.
What was number two?
Number two was PCP or heroin.
You know what should be number one?
What?
Sugar.
Okay, well. At the bottom of
because I'm addicted to sugar.
At the very bottom of the list was marijuana, and above that was caffeine. This was in a 10th grade sociology textbook in the 80s. Like right there, they're telling you. And from what I understand, marijuana has a negative tolerance, where the longer you smoke it, the less you need to get high. So you can get a psychological addiction to it, but you actually can't get a physical addiction to it. Anyway,
you don't get addicted to it.
Yeah, period. Exactly. Yeah. So what I'm saying is I remember talking to my dad about this and he said, I only don't want you smoking weed because of all the hassle it'll give you. And I just want you to be able to go to college and start your life. And then you can smoke, do whatever you want.
Maybe he thought you'd be super lazy and just not.
Maybe. But then I said, when you were in Vietnam for 3 years, did you smoke weed over there? And then he paused and just went, it's illegal in the States. And I don't want you having that hassle.
I cannot imagine Larry. Your dad smoking pot.
You know what? I can imagine anyone wanting any kind of escape in a meat grinder situation like a war. A war is so takes you out of yourself.
Right, which is the perfect time to legalize marijuana here because it feels like we've been going through a war a little bit.
Exactly.
It feels like there are warring factions, and there are, which leads us back to that horrible woman who said that stupid thing. It wants to be governor of Virginia.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying I'm almost impressed with her for I did not know that legalizing marijuana was still an argument that was happening right now. That was like, oh, that's, it's like, oh, where I come from, they're still burning witches. That's what it feels like to me. And also to hear somebody bring up the term marijuana overdoses, it feels like such a nostalgic, like, oh, I feel like throwing a Great Gatsby party right now. Like, it feels like the 30s again, where people think that you could overdose on marijuana or if, you know.
Yeah. There was a text that I did get of yours that I didn't even get a chance to talk to you about that I want to talk to you about.
What?
You sent me a picture of a Zoom that you were on. You were doing a Zoom for the Ted Lasso Paley, what?
The Paley Fest. I hosted a thing talking about Ted Lasso. I've hosted a bunch of things for the Paley Fest for shows that I really get into, for Marvelous Miss Maisel and Parks and Rec and Key and Peele. And I've done, now I did one for Ted Lasso.
Well, I just love those people.
Oh my God.
Every single person on that show, first of all, Ted Lasso, most surprising, best show ever.
It was amazing talking to them on Paley Fest. I said, I remember watching the trailer for that show and thinking, well, all right, I get it. The trailer made me go, yeah, I've already seen the joke and I'm not. And then suddenly I start getting texts and emails from people going,
you have to watch
this. This is going
to
sound so weird. Ted Lasso. I know that you've seen the trailers for it. And you're like, what?
Everyone is like, I know it looks like just a sports show, like just a guy. But and you might not like sports shows. You have to watch it. And then I did. And then, oh my God, it's heartbreaking and amazing and beautiful.
Amazing.
And every single cast member is so brilliant. Everyone
has a
so
story.
Unique.
And no one, and they seem to have a lot of fun in the early episodes, especially with Nate the Great, Nick Muhammad, and Jeremy, I'm forgetting his last name, but he plays her assistant, where those are such bog standard characters that you see in shows like this, where you're like, well, they're just going to hit this same beat. And they end up having character arcs.
Oh my God, I love that.
I can't believe they made sure everyone has a character arc.
The assistant guy, is his name Nate?
No, Nate is the guy that cleans up in the locker room, and then they make him assistant coach.
I love him. I love him so much. Oh
but
my God.
Hannah Waddingham, who plays
Rebecca. Oh my God, she's the greatest.
Her assistant.
I know, I remember.
Jeremy Swift, the actor Jeremy Swift, they give him an entire story, and it doesn't detract from the show. It doesn't take focus. And the moment in the Paley Fest thing that really hit me, talking to Hannah Waddingham and Juno, why am I blanking on her last name?
Anyway, the cute.
She plays
girl.
Keely. It'll come to me in a second, but they both were really leapt on the idea. And it was so unique for them as actresses. Juno Temple. it was the first time that they were in and they're both very gorgeous women.
Yes.
But usually in movie and TV, women, especially gorgeous women or just women in general, are always pitted against each other for a finite bunch of resources in whatever it is, for success or love or whatever. And the fact that they are
supporting each other.
Absolutely supporting each other. Yeah. And it's so natural. And then they even let, Juno said there's the episode where they go out of town and Rebecca, Hannah Waddingham's childhood friend, shows up. And you think, okay, there's going to be, and then nope, they all just start, three of them hang out. And it's so good.
It is so good, but it's also so real. So many, I don't know where this trope came with women battling each other. I really have never in my life had that experience. I went to an all-girls school, and I'm still best friends with my friends from my all-girls school.
Right.
And my actress friends, I'm still best friends with everybody is supportive of each other.
Yeah.
And even in this business, like, you would think maybe two actresses might not, they would like They'd maybe be- not say, oh, there's, a, if you're auditioning for something, they might, like, hide the fact that they're auditioning for something, because if you go up on it too, you'll be competing and blah, 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 blah.
Right, right.
But the truth is, all of my friends, if I read a script or if they do, and they're like, oh, this is so Meredith, or oh, this is so Ever, or oh, this is so Martha, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they call up and go, you need to call your agent right now. This is so you. I'm auditioning for it, but it's actually not me. So you should call your agent right now. Like, very supportive. So I don't
understand. Well, you're lucky. You do have a great circle of friends. There are, unfortunately, both male and female circles of friends that are not that way. And it depends on how you're raised. And it only, maybe it feels like some of these things were written by either men or women that came from a toxic background, and that's how they saw it working. But It's so amazing to see it. Not only it feels refreshing, but it also feels like, oh no, it actually has been this way. They just don't depict it this way.
Right.
It's always been this way.
You also sent a text to me that is something I'd already seen before that I was actually going to text to you. And I thought I did text you. But
no.
It's the geode that looks like Cookie Monster. There is a geode. Does everyone know what a geode is? It's like a big rock. And if you chop it in half, there's like gems on the inside.
Right.
So beautiful. I am someone who loves crystals. And I'm not.
Oh, boy.
No. I'm not like hoopy doopy about it.
You've got a toe in that pool.
No, but yeah.
We went to San Francisco and we had breakfast. We went to the Lower Haight, had breakfast at Kate's Kitchen, which I cannot wait till that place reopens. On the other side of this goddamn quarantine, we are going there. And we walked up Haight Street to the upper Haight Street where it ends at Stanyan.
And we went
Golden
into all the little shops.
And man, she went, Meredith in crystal shops was like, She's like this out of town art buyer. There's like, that's not pure anthracite. I'm sorry, but I've actually like these like little hippie chicks were like, look, man, they just like deliver this here, man. They just told me to put, it was so amazing how you're like bargaining them down. Like, there's too many microchips in this. I can't pay for
microchips. Like, you're such a nerd that you're talking.
Mica, M-I-C-A,
man,
little flakes
and stuff.
I don't
think they're called mica chips.
Mica flakes.
Okay, but I don't think that's
all I'm saying is you had these people like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't know.
I did not.
It was great.
But what I did do, here's the thing.
What?
I love pretty things and I love things that feel good. Like ever since I've been a little girl, if I went shopping with my mom for school and she's like, oh, this sweater is perfect. I'm like, it's itchy. Mm-hmm. Or she's like, put this on. I'm like, I can't move my arms. So my whole life. And now we're
it's
married.
Comfort.
I like comfort. You even say yourself, you're like a comfy beanbag.
I know.
So that's why I fell in love with you.
Exactly. And you like your hair. She's wearing harem pants right now.
I'm wearing harem pants right now.
Yeah.
But it's funny too, because everybody's like, oh, what's your favorite designer? What do you like to wear? And people name all these really super fashionable places.
Right.
And I'm like, I love Old Navy. And I'm not even joking. It's my favorite. I love it so much.
Yeah. We've been to a couple of premieres where you have brought extra shoes to wear for the after party. Like, I can only do this long.
Oh, yeah. I can do the red carpet and heels. And then the minute they've taken your picture, Birkenstocks.
Yeah, exactly. Birkenstocks. And then also, like, okay, we're going to do a half hour. Like, it's almost like you can time, like, I can do another half hour in this dress, and then we got to get home.
But here's the deal.
We got to get out of here.
Once I'm comfortable, I can stay all night.
Right.
I want to stay all night. I like being out. Well, especially now, I feel like, Jesus, wouldn't it be nice to just...
But you're also torn because you have put on... I remember you've put on some dresses where you're like, I look so amazing and I am in so much pain right now.
Right.
Please let me get my picture taken in this. And then let me go home and put on sweatpants and watch Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of... So anyway...
The geode.
The geode. You break it open. It's blue. It looks like it's smiling and it has two little circular white... I swear... To you, it is a Cookie Monster geode.
Looks like Cookie Monster.
And normally that rock or that crystal or whatever you call that would go for, I don't know, $300.
Right.
Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's approximately around that thing. But because it looks like Cookie Monster, I think it's going to be like a $50,000 thing. And here's the problem with that.
Uh-oh.
You know... My favorite thing of all time is the Muppets.
Exactly.
Like, there's nothing better than the Muppets.
If you are circling around to me buying you that, that's not happening.
Well, come on, you love me. No. I was just saying, you know, that's the greatest thing for someone like me who loves Muppets.
Is a $50,000 crystal geode, of course.
That looks like Cookie Monster.
That looks like Cookie Monster.
But that, you know what? It isn't, because Grover's my favorite.
That's true. Grover is your favorite.
Yeah. I also love Gonzo and Kermit.
What, and I know that people have talked about this before, what kind of monster is Gonzo? What is he? Is he an alien? Is he?
Well, have you seen Muppets from Space? Because he looks up at the sky and he's like, I'm going to go back there someday. because like he's from space, maybe.
Oh, I didn't see Muppets from space. So he,
but maybe or maybe not. Maybe we not. Don't know. Nobody
maybe
really.
Maybe he's delusional. Maybe he took too many trips with Mick Jagger back in '68. Are you looking at another text that
I'm
sent?
I'm trying to find a text between us that we didn't talk about.
Well, then let me read something to you.
Okay, because I need to put my glasses on. And the last time I put my glasses on, people, we are currently wearing headphones for the podcast, yeah. As one does.
I need to.
And I didn't realize I was wearing headphones, and I put my glasses on and didn't realize my ears weren't my ears and broke my glasses because I put them over the headphone and broke it.
So last week, I mentioned something about how in the olden days, people would sleep for a few hours and then wake up.
Wait a second.
Hang out for a little bit.
Yes, in our last, we did talk about that.
And you were like, I don't know about that.
No. You said, in the old days, it's called first watch. So there are two separate things. Mm-hmm. You were right about the fact that sleeping patterns mm-hmm. were different, that you would sleep for a little bit, you'd wake for a little bit. You were right about that.
Right.
But it wasn't called first watch. First watch is a military thing.
Well, it was called first sleep.
See?
But different. Also...
Watch is different than sleep, babe.
Well, but in some areas, different. It was called watch because a lot of places were...
No, it wasn't.
Listen to this.
What?
Historian A. Roger Eckerch, which I know I'm mispronouncing, has argued that before the Industrial Revolution, interrupted sleep was dominant in Western civilization.
Yes, I agree. That's true. But
He draws evidence from more than 500 references to a segmented sleeping pattern in documents from the ancient, medieval, and modern world. And then, according to Eckhart's argument, adults typically slept in two distinct phases, bridged by an intervening period of wakefulness of approximately an hour. This time was used to, ready, mm-hmm. pray, reflect, and interpret dreams, which were more vivid at that hour upon waking. It was also a favorite time for scholars and poets to write uninterrupted. Oh my God. It was a favorite time for scholars and poets to write uninterrupted, whereas still others visited neighbors, engaged in sexual activity,
ooh.
Or committed petty crime.
I would commit petty crime. And what was the one before that?
Sexual activity.
Oh, I don't know about that. Just kidding. You actually texted me something.
Oh.
And this is really funny because we did not talk about this.
Oh.
And so we're probably about to get in a fight.
Oh dear.
But I don't know.
Let's see here.
Okay. So you sent me a text that says, you saw a little picture online of shiny, pretty things and yeah. attached to it. Somebody wrote, I used to work in jewelry. Most of the prettiest gemstones are also very affordable. Tanzanite is a beautiful purple and looks nicer than amethyst. Topaz comes in lots of colors, including pretty blue color, and can be as nice as aquamarine, which, by the way, is my birthstone. Hmm. Opals aren't as brightly rainbow-hued as they look in pictures. So you sent that to me.
Yeah.
And you sent me that
right.
where it says, the shitty stones are prettier than the more... Well, okay. Well, so basically, what did I send you back? What is this that I sent you back?
It's a gif uh-huh. of Will Smith saying, "What's your point?" It's a Smith gif. Look.
It's a Smith gif. You sent me saying that it doesn't have to be expensive to be beautiful, and I agree with you. There are beautiful things. But what's your point, babe?
Well,
what was your point in sending that to me?
Here's my point.
Why did you send it at all?
Because here's the two things you love. You love pretty things, but you also love bargaining and bargains. That nothing gives you more happiness than when someone goes, "Oh, that dress you have on is so amazing."
And I go, $25 on Amazon.
You're so excited to do that.
I know,
so if
it's
you
fun.
Had a piece of bling that people went, "Oh my God, that looks gorgeous," you're like, "Well, you know what? This is that." And yeah. So
let me just say one thing.
What?
That thing where people go, "Oh my God, I love your shoes. I love your dress. I love this," and I'm like super excited to say, "Oh, it's $25 on Amazon. You'll love it." Because I'm being a helpful girlfriend who's being a good friend, unlike people who are like, "Oh, I don't know where I got it. My husband gave it to me as a gift." I
right,
hate people like that,
right.
by the way. So I'm trying to be friendly, and it's also great, and everybody can afford it, and it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But jewelry is a separate issue. Like, I don't think...
So you don't think it would be helpful to have something, amazing piece of bling, but then tell your friend, you can get this same thing for like next to nothing.
Yeah, but
and look great.
Of course you can. You can get a diamond ring that's $1 billion, or you can get a cubic zirconia that's like $100. Mm-hmm. So no, it's not exciting. And what was your point in sending it to me?
My point was
you want to give me shitty jewelry.
No, I don't. Look, I don't pick you out jewelry anymore after the couple of attempts that I did going to
well, here's the problem.
Vintage stores. And you're like, sweetie, I don't, what is that? You know, and I'm like, this was worn by Tallulah Bankhead. She's like, I don't care. I can't return it.
Yeah, that's the problem. If you go to a jewelry store and you buy something. So this is the thing. And I want to hear from the listeners here. Maybe they could. We are going to give them an email.
We got to give you an email. We don't have that yet. Yeah.
So they can text us so we can actually read their texts.
Yeah.
But what was I saying?
You were talking about how I like to go to like vintage jewelry stores and get you stuff with a cool story behind it.
So this is what I'm curious. It's very thoughtful that you would be like, oh, I love my wife. I'm going to give her a Valentine's Day gift of this ring.
Right.
And so you're so sweet and you're so thoughtful and you buy the ring and then you give it to me.
Right.
And I hate it. And so you give it to me, but here's the problem. You're so wonderful and such a good husband and so thoughtful that I'm like, oh, you're the best husband. I love you so much. Babe, this isn't really my style. And I love you so much and you're so thoughtful and you're so wonderful, but is there any way, did you maybe see if you could return it? And then you call the store and they're like, you can't return it, but fine, we'll give you a store credit. And
the
problem is you go to these small little shops that are very specific and then you go into the shop and it's all that style of shittiness.
I didn't know it was I'm trying to figure out your taste. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so
anyway, so you go back to
a couple times I did nail it though.
That is true. Anyway, I love when you give me thoughtful jewelry.
Right.
But the problem is then you get what's it called? A store credit.
You're right.
And there's nothing in the store that I want. And then I'm sort of like, but if it's expensive, you feel bad. You want to just buy something to buy something. You want to love it. And so anyway, so here's my question to the listeners out there. Mm-hmm. What do you think it's appropriate if something big is coming up to be like, babe, if you're thinking about Valentine's Day or my birthday, you know, there are some things I like. I made a little wish list. I don't know. That's so presumptuous.
To like, guide the gift giving?
Because if you get
to avoid disappointment?
To avoid wasting money.
No.
Because it's a waste of money to buy something expensive and then not like it and then not be able to return it. And
yes,
I'm just curious if that's rude. I think it might be rude.
Well, we'll see.
It's presumptuous.
I think we're going to be split 50-50.
Well, here's the deal.
I
think when you have a relationship like we do, when you're so incredibly honest to each other, to the
brutally,
fault of like hurting each other's feelings.
Like heart stompingly honest.
that I could be like, oh my God, you and I are so different. We have such different tastes.
Yeah.
Do not ever do anything. Let me pick out everything.
Yeah, exactly.
What were we talking about? How much I love you.
You didn't marry some tall, hot guy. You married a
short
weird,
troll.
Yeah, exactly.
But baby, I'm going to get super old and gross. And I just want you to be aware
true.
Of that. Like, I'm going to change a lot. Probably.
I don't think you are.
But I still want you to love me.
I really don't think you will.
But you love me
You're going to age like Julie Christie and like all these European actresses, the way they just go, I enjoy a slice of pizza and a goddamn glass of wine. I'm not going to. You know what I mean? Like that it's the,
well, I'm going to just age gracefully and hopefully it won't be a tragedy,
but there's nothing less sexy than someone who's white knuckling their youth.
Yeah. No, I don't like
see
that.
The bones and sinew popping out. It's like, enjoy being 70. You'll still be a beautiful 70. Just enjoy it.
Yes.
You know,
the problem is
Isabella Rossellini is what people should shoot for.
She's so gorgeous
and is having the best life.
But yeah, I'm not a person who's ever going to, well, first of all, I don't want to diss anyone who's gotten facelifts because, boy, would I love to lift those jowls. But for me, actually, I had a 10 years ago, I had like a little tiny tumor, not cancerous, but like a little thing. And it was in my right by my ear. And so they had to take it out. And when they did, the doctor was like, you know, your facial muscles exposed and your facial nerves are exposed and you can never have a facelift because you'll go paralyzed. So even if I wanted one, which I do, but I can't.
Right.
I can't have one. And so I won't have one. And so I will be somebody who has to, on purpose, age gracefully, which is fine. That's totally fine. And I think people should.
We should cut this whole part of the podcast out so that later in life, when you haven't gotten a facelift, people can go, what a brave choice she made. And you're like, that's right. You know what? I'm bucking the system. Not well, if I get one, my face will fall off my skull.
I might go paralyzed.
Yeah.
Well, here's, you know what? Who's to say? I'm afraid of medical procedures. I don't like IVs or anything like that. So maybe I wouldn't.
Right.
I can't anyway, but maybe I wouldn't make that choice.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah.
But I never would do that other weird stuff where you end up looking like a crazy cat lady where you inject your face with everything, because that is horrifying.
Why do people do that?
I know. It doesn't make you look prettier. It makes you look crazy.
Yeah, it makes you look crazy. It has never once worked out.
No.
Ever.
Yeah.
It is. You know what it is? Like, that kind of surgery is the equivalent of the people that are going, I know that heroin took down Belushi and Hendrix and Philip Seymour Hoffman, but I'll be the one guy. It doesn't. It's like, no, you won't be the one guy. Like, it will take you out too. Like, people are like, I'll be the one person that gets the injection to look good. You're like, you won't. It doesn't work for anybody.
Well, the bottom line of this whole story is, I love you so much, and I'm so happy we're married, and I feel so comfortable with you, and I never really, my whole life, felt that comfortable ever. And it's because
you were always with insanely hot guys, so.
No, baby, no. Well, yes, but no. But my boyfriends also dated like supermodels. So it's like,
right.
You know, I'm comparing myself to who they dated. But I just feel very comfortable and happy with myself. Finally, as a human being in general, just my best self with you. And I think that when you marry someone, you should marry someone that brings out your best self.
You see the silent movie double takes I do whenever I see you. It's like, what the? Oh my God. So yeah.
I know. Sometimes I think you're just being nice though.
No, I'm not faking these weird.
I think you are sometimes.
No.
I think you are.
No. Okay. See, here comes the negativity and the self-loathing. It's true.
It's just because here's the thing. Baby, you keep sniffing into the microphone. Well, stop it. But listen to me.
What?
This is why I know I think it's not true.
Okay.
Because Alice will do something. Sometimes she'll do something awesome and you're like, oh my God, that's awesome. Wow. You did that.
Yeah.
And then other times she'll do something where she'll be like, I want you guys to hear me sing this song. And some songs she sings great.
Yeah.
And some songs she's terrible.
Right.
And you go, like, you're trying to be nice, but it's actually not that good. And it's the same way where you go, you look amazing in that bathing suit. It's that same kind of like.
I'm giving you both. I'm trying to give you guys the enthusiasm for the attempt.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm just being enthusiastic for the attempt.
I love it.
Thank you. Well, that was our second episode of Did You Get My Text? I've been Patton Oswalt.
You still are Patton Oswalt, and I am still Meredith Salinger.
And we will both be that way forever.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
This podcast is a production of Meredith Salinger and Patton Oswalt.
In association with Starburns Audio. Executive producers are Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. And if you have questions for us, send them to...
Hey, did you get my text? @gmail.com. And don't forget, subscribe to this podcast. It's free, and it helps us get to keep making the show.